That's right. Welcome back in. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, the game, streaming all around the world on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe hanging out at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators and the Ducks battle tonight. Always fun. Not the same Ducks team as it has been in the past, but I think you all remember the rivalry. And, I choose that word very carefully, but I believe this is a true rivalry between these two franchises with all of the playoff matchups that they've had over the years. It still gets a little chippy when they meet, so this should be a fun game tonight. Smashville Live returns tomorrow night. I'll be hosting alongside Hal Gill this week. I'll be live at Drake's in Cool Springs, located at 553 Cool Springs Boulevard from 7 to 8. Our player guest this week will be defenseman Dante Fabbro. Fans can register to win two tickets to an upcoming Predators home game. Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. So come out. Hal Gill and I excited to have Dante Fabbro, who, of course, has just had a tremendous start to his NHL career. So you look at this matchup tonight between the Predators and the Ducks. What have we learned so far in the early stages of the season? To me, the biggest thing that has stood out has been, of course, the offense for the Nashville Predators. I like what I see, that the addition of Matt Duchene, the line combinations that Peter Laviolette has put together, you have a pretty volatile lineup from top to bottom when it comes to offense. Now, gaining Matt Duchene gave you a lot on the offensive side, but losing P.K. Subban, you definitely lost one of the top defensemen in the National Hockey League, and it's shown. Am I worried about that? No, because I believe that they have talented defensemen and talented forwards that, you know, have a defensive side of their game on this team. So I feel like that things are going to straighten out. The penalty kill, okay, 30th in the NHL right now. You're a little worried about that. It's almost like we're having the same conversation that we had last season about the power play. But I'm going to give you the same answer that I gave on October 22nd this time last year. I'm not worried about it yet. I'm not ready to panic. I believe that this team has enough confidence. They have enough skill. They have enough leadership that they're going to overcome that. But it's something to pay attention to, that I'm not ready to hit the panic button just yet. Having Philip Forsberg out of the lineup, if you heard earlier, Adam Vingan of The Athletic reported, and as well as others, that Philip Forsberg is still day-to-day with a lower body injury. He was not on the ice for Predators morning skate. However, it was an optional skate. So I don't know if you can really read anything into that. I'm going to go with pay attention tonight when they come out for warm-ups. Keep it right here throughout the day on 102.5 The Game, and we'll see if Philip Forsberg is able to return to the lineup. They did send Yakov Trenin back to the Milwaukee Admirals yesterday, so he made his debut, or Sunday, I should say. He made his debut Saturday night, his NHL debut, played the one game, and now he's back with the Admirals. Mika Salamaki, of course, was also called up, so the roster now at 22. Rocco Grimaldi was a scratch the other night, so you could see him return to the lineup. We'll see what Peter Laviolette decides to do. You heard me mention earlier Ryan Ellis and just how impressed I've been thus far with Ryan Ellis. And then Kyle Turris is another one of those. But if you look at the Predators and their stats right now, Ryan Ellis leads the team in points, a goal and 10 assists. And he's been all over the ice. He's been working with that second power play unit, with the revamped power play that Dan Lambert has had a big part of. You're seeing the Ryan Ellis that we all saw 2 years ago. And last year, it used to bug me because I'd look at his stats and go, okay, he's still putting up great stats. But then you'd watch him on the ice, you could tell something was just different. And I think there could have been a lingering issue with the knee. I don't know. I'm speculating. But I'm seeing the Ryan Ellis that I remember from a couple years ago. And that's going to be huge for the Predators. I brought up defensemen earlier. And while Ryan Ellis has always had an offensive side to his game, he's a pretty good defenseman as well. And to turn some of these defensive woes, you know, getting protection in front of the goaltender in the Predators' zone, Ryan Ellis is going to be a big part of that alongside Roman Josi. So the fact that you're seeing a confident Ryan Ellis the Ryan Ellis that we all knew, that's going to bode well for the Nashville Predators moving forward as they move into November here in just a few weeks as the regular season is well underway. Of course, Matt Duchene, you know the impact that he's made early on through eight games. I mentioned Kyle Turris having his confidence with 6 points. And I like that Peter Laviolette has been able to move him up and down the lineup. We saw the other night that he played center and Duchene moved over to the wing. Shows you the versatility that both players have. I know they experimented with Turris on the wing. I brought that up to Peter Laviolette. He pretty much dismissed it and said, no, he's a center. We like him better there. But Duchene has shown that he can play wing sometimes. So they've shifted him over at times. We'll see what happens tonight. Again, Philip Forsberg, we don't know. You know, can he give it a go? The thing that worries me, if he's close and you think, okay, maybe he can play tonight, I'm not opposed to that. But as Willie Donick likes to say, the Anaheim Ducks are masters at the dark arts. And this is going to be a physical game. Again, not the same Anaheim Ducks team that the Preds have faced in the past and had those battles with, but there are still a lot of those same faces that are on this team, being Getzlaff and Perry is gone, but you know they're Ryan Kessler. I mean they are a tough team, so I wouldn't want to put him in a situation where if he's still on the fence, if he's still not quite ready, to have him face such a physical team in the Anaheim Ducks. But again, we will find out. Pregame coverage gets underway at 6 o'clock. Here tonight with Darren McFarland. Again, he has gone down to do his pregame interview, so we'll see who he got for that. And then you can hear the call of Pete Weber and Hal Gill coming up at 7 o'clock as the Preds take on the Ducks. When we come back here from Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena, we are scheduled to be joined by Predators General Manager David Poile for his weekly visit. Excited to hear what he has to say about the team through this point in the season and also battling those pesky Anaheim Ducks. We'll do that next here on Darren Donick and Chase on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, live at Pete and Terry's Tavern. The crew is here. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe. Don't forget Predators and Ducks tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. I'll have pregame for you at 6 and everything heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You know this time on Tuesdays, it's our weekly chat with the GM. Predators General Manager David Poile has been nice enough to stop by, brought to you every week by Gary Force Acura and Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. David, how the heck are you?
I'm okay. I'll be better when we win tonight. Yeah. I mean, we've since last time we talked, we were had the three-game road trip, and then we played Florida the other night, and, you know, kind of mixed reviews, and I'd like to see us get into, a more consistent game on both sides of the puck and, you know, get a big win here tonight.
What has jumped out at you on why there hasn't been consistent? We know one thing that's been consistent has been the offense, but what's jumped out on why you think it's been a little bit of a roller coaster ride?
Well, it's interesting. What's the saying? You know, you take care of one thing and then something else
right.
Pops up, so to speak. Well, there's been so much talk all of last season about our offense and about our power play, and both of those areas are going very well, and we're certainly scoring enough goals, and we're producing pretty regularly on our power play. But one of our strengths last year was our penalty killing, and I see today we're in 30th place, yeah. And that's really hurt us in almost every game, and the fact that we have not been able to, you know, come kill off the penalties at a higher rate, and for sure is, you know, probably factored in a couple of the recent games where we weren't victorious. So certainly, again, it's always a little bit of a balancing act. The other night against Florida, one of the stats that really caught my eye was we missed the net or had a shot blocked, I think it was 42 times, which and put that in perspective, Florida only had 13. And it's just like we were all over it, but we couldn't we couldn't get the goal, or we couldn't finish, you know, correctly. So I thought we were playing well, but instead of getting 2 points, we get 1 point. So it's early in the season, and this is a big conference game. I think we always have, you know, really strong games against Anaheim, usually physical games for whatever
They're
reason that might
fun.
Be. Yeah, so let's see how we play tonight.
Well, you know, David, over the years, especially the history of this franchise, I mean, there's been very few times when we've really ever talked about anything when it comes to the penalty kill other than good stuff, right? I mean, it's overall, the body of work has always been at a really, really high level. Last year it was sixth. The year before that it was sixth in the league. And like you said, 30th, and actually the team that's 31st is Winnipeg. Yeah. They're actually dead last in the league on the penalty kill.
Yeah. Like I said, it's, you know, you plug the dike,
it's
so to speak.
It's the leak, right?
Something else comes up. So, again, it's there from the defense out with the goaltending and what have you, but I think there's been some, you know, missed assignments and, you know, some different situations. I feel the coaches totally agree that it's all correctable, and, you know, we probably have to pay more attention to it. And that's probably what I just said there probably makes the most sense. We probably have overloaded on our talk and preparation and maybe even the practicing about our offense versus the defense. So it is clearly a balance, and hopefully tonight we'll see a little bit better job in that area.
I wanted you to talk a minute about Craig Smith, who just played in his 600th career NHL game, obviously all for one franchise, this one. And just what the body of work has been like for Craig Smith, a draft pick of yours, and you have obviously invested a lot of time and money into Craig Smith over the years. What did you think whenever you heard career game 600 Saturday night?
Same thing I always think. I'm the only one that's getting any older than the organization. again, this is going to come across as a little bit of a contradiction. Very consistent every year. You know, Craig, I think it's four of the last 5 years, if I'm right here, scores 20 goals and pretty predictable in his output and what he does for the Predators. Obviously, shows up every night. Great work ethic, great speed. That consistency comes with a lot of inconsistency. And here we go at the beginning of this year where I think he only has one assist in the first eight games. Smitty's been a real streaky player during his career. When he gets hot, it's great. And when he's not, it's not perfect. If I could wish anything for him and for us, it would be to kind of have that more consistency all the time. I mean, I don't think we nor he could put a finger on it because it's you know, pretty well happens every year. And he just... you know, right now he can't buy a goal. He's just, I know he's really frustrated. And, you know, getting back on our offense again, you're looking for now we've got our top two lines going pretty well. You're looking for this secondary, you know, scoring. And again, if a guy like Smitty starts getting the odd goal here and there, it just makes us a hard team to play against, a hard team to win because we're going to be putting up so much offense. But right now he's in a little bit of a rut, but we know by history that he's going to get out of that. And again, I'm saying a lot about tonight, so tonight would be a real good time to get out of that, yeah, for him. But 600 games, good for him. Good that you know, we have players that we keep and play that long for our franchise. I'm proud of that. I mean, you know, we always talk about improving the team and making trades, but there's nothing better to me than drafting a player and having a homegrown player here for as long as possible.
I brought it up. I had a conversation with Dante Fabro, you'll hear, in pregame, and I brought that up to him, and he said, "I hope you're still interviewing me for my 600th game." And I said, "Well, that'll make me really old when you get to that point." But I wanted to bring up just like him starting off his career, you know, and we're talking, here's Craig Smith. And obviously you want us to be talking about Dante Fabro's 600th career game with the Nashville Predators. So now that he's logged eight games and then he had the 10 last year, including the playoffs, his small body of work, what have you seen out of Fabro to this point?
I think so far so good. Really a calm player, a lot of poise, makes the occasional mistake. Seems like when he does that, he doesn't repeat it. The coaches all feel that he's very coachable. Coaches, in particular Kevin McCarthy, are spending a lot of time with Dante, reviewing his shifts, you know, every game and trying to make sure that he understands what we're trying to do, understands what we need him to do, and the minutiae of the game, you know, where you should be in certain situations. You know, sometimes a foot here or a foot there makes a big difference to where you're, how you successful, where you hold your stick, how you carry it, how you can intercept passes, things like that. But I think Dante's got a real good mind for the game, really good hockey sense, and so far so good. Again, as we've said before, you know, with PK leaving, Dante's playing pretty big minutes right now. I mean, can he keep that up? So I think he can, but again, it's a lot to give a young guy at this time of his career.
We're talking to David Poile, Predators general manager, our weekly chat with him. And David, it looks like the numbers are certainly popping off the page for Ryan Ellis, but the way he's moving looks like he's found another gear. He just looks great out there doing everything that we know he can do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Ryan was a little bit injured last year, not to the point that he couldn't play, but I think a healthy summer and changing up his routine a little bit has allowed him to, you know, regain his confidence and thus regain his, I'd say, his jump, his speed. And, I mean, I don't think we've had a better player than Ryan Ellis and, you know, maybe Duchesne on the forward. But, you know, Ryan and Yost on defense have been really, really good. And obviously the fact that Ryan's got all of these points is really good for him. And, I mean, even though he's a veteran player now, you still need to get your confidence and what have you. And if something's bothering you a little bit, you're just off. And I think last year at different times he was just off a little bit. And this is a fantastic start for him.
Kyle Turris has really – he had a huge goal the other night. His production looks pretty good. And, of course, with Forsberg out, he's moved back to center. Duchesne has slid over to the wing here. You knew it was it had to be a little bit of a puzzle to find the right role for him when Duchesne came in terms of the number of centers you have available on the roster here. But it looks like he's handled it pretty well, and obviously he's playing really well right now.
Yeah, there's no question that Kyle Turris is a top player, and it just – unfortunately, for lots of reasons that we've talked about many, many times, his year didn't go well for him last year. At the top of that was two injuries that took him out of the lineup for extended period of times. And, you know, different, but maybe not totally dissimilar. It's just like Ryan Ellis just being off a little bit, and Kyle was too. And so it's nice to see him get some production, hopefully get a little bit of his confidence back and his swagger, because he, I repeat for the second time, he's a top player that had a bad year. Yeah. And, you know, there's been all sorts of discussions about, you know, is he going to be traded? Should he be traded or what have you? I'm often saying to myself, it's probably a blessing in disguise where we are right today, because when you lose a top player like Forsberg, I mean, how many teams have a player that they can move into their top two lines and somebody that can not only move into their top two lines, but be productive and got the huge goal the other night? So, you know, I think Kyle is doing real well. And again, not unlike what we're talking about with Craig Smith. If we get our top two lines scoring, we get healthy, and Kyle is also scoring, it makes us a tough out.
You bring that up, and I'm always curious to get in the mind of the GM. When you hear rumors and everything, whether it's true or not true, like, how do you react to that? When you read things or somebody comes to you and says, is this true?
Well, it depends whether it's you or my...
And I'm being general. I'm not talking about a specific player.
Or the owner. There's possibly two different answers there. I don't know how to answer that, because it gets so much of it. And, you know, the coverage is fantastic these days for everything, and specifically here for sports. I mean, I watch TV, I read things, I hear things or what have you, and it's just, you know, on Twitter or what have you, it's instant information all the time. So, you know, somebody could just put out something I could read 5 minutes ago that said that blank team was trying to trade this player. Well, right away, I have to, if I had some interest there, I have to explore that, you know, because I don't know whether it's fact or fiction. And so it's something that, I guess it makes our job a little bit more difficult, but maybe on the other hand, it gets you right to the point right away of what might be going on in this job. But again, there's so much out there, and again, it's not all true,
right?
And that's in itself is the problem, because whether it be a media person or maybe a manager, I mean, sometimes people are just putting out things there like to try to get a feel for the situation. So it's all part of the job. And again, now you have to realize too that I have a lot of people working for me, so they're reading different stuff. So, you know, we're talking every day, and somebody will say, did you see this, did you read this, or I was at that game, this is what I heard, or an actual factual thing is I see the way this team is playing that so-and-so is not getting much ice time and maybe he could be available, type of thing. So it's a lot of information to compile every day and make your decisions as to what you want to do, not only on your own team, but in, you know, possibilities out there with other teams.
But I would imagine that, you know, in 1998, when you started here with the Predators and the organization started, it's changed so much because of this little device, a smartphone and Twitter and that back in the day it was more phone calls, and now you're getting texts, and there's Twitter, and I'm sure how you've gone about that whole process has changed.
Yeah, it has, and again, it's, you try to stay as current as you can in this job, but just the layers of people that we have working for us, and amount of scouts, coaches, our office staff, all of that's increased. Analytics has been a new portion of the job that's really had a significant input to how you put together your team, or how you may be making trades or acquiring players. There's just lots and lots of layers, and I'm sure on your side too. I mean, you see how it is on the media, the competition that you have to get the story out, or to make a, you know, make a, an announcement or a decision, or to try to get the scoop, if you will. So
well, that's why we have Elliot Friedman on the show. We have our own insider.
Well, that's a good contact for you to have, because he gets his fair share. But it's all of us,
right?
The whole world is instant information. I mean, I think too, the younger generation is really likes our game, watches our game, knows the players really well, but a lot of times they're doing it just on the phone. Sure. Or through television, and we need to, you know, keep evolving as an organization to make sure that we can sell out the Bridgestone Arena and keep the interest there. So it's a fun business to be in, I'm sure, for all of us. But it's competitive, and it's evolving all the time, really fast.
1998, you probably had a pager, right? A beeper? Did you ever do a trade
via
the payphone? No, payphone.
A payphone.
Right, because you got the beep, right? You got the page, and then you went to the payphone?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well,
fax
again, I'm a dinosaur. I mean, you guys are so young. I mean, we never had these cell phones. You do know this is a relatively new invention. So if you're a manager, you're traveling, you know, city to city or what have you, the only way you had to communicate was through a telephone. So the big deal was, if you come back after a game, you'd be kind of praying when you got back to your hotel room that red light wasn't flashing. because that's how we communicated.
Yeah.
And now it's like, if somebody wants you, they just call during this interview, and I got to talk to them. So it's really different, as I say, and as you guys know, it's instant information right away.
Before we let you go, we got to see Yakov Trenin for the first time, and I know he had a really good start for Milwaukee. Salamaki's back up, but what are some of your reports? What are some highlights from Milwaukee so far?
I watched the game on Sunday. I've seen three of their four games. Goaltending has been good with both Grosnick and Ingram. On defense, they've been fine. I think a young player that I want to watch a lot is Jeremy Davies. I think he got his first goal the other day, but probably needs a little bit more time and away from the puck, and just being able to see what else is happening out there and not get just sort of drifting away from the play, so to speak. Forward wise, I'd like to see a little bit more scoring. Trenin has been the best down there scoring. And I thought he played fine in his first game, but again, needs a little bit more time. But we like the big body and the straight ahead play, the forechecking, and a little bit of physical play. Other guys that are doing okay. Wilkins has got a couple. He's got a goal and a couple of assists. Playing three games in three nights, first time for a college player to do that. It was a hard game for him to play. A player that was really good at training camp in Rem Pitlick has yet to get his first goal, which just goes to show you that it's not an easy...
It's a process,
yeah.
Right?
And sometimes there's a little bit more structure up here in an NHL than there is down there, where the players are running around a little bit more. So they're off to a decent start, 2-1-3 or something. They played three overtime games in a row on the weekend and lost all three in overtime.
Oh,
so
boy.
Have to work on
that's
that.
That's a lot of hockey.
Yeah, that's right.
David, good to see you as always. Thanks for doing this, and... we'll have fun tonight.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much.
David Poile, Predators General Manager, joins us every Tuesday at 11:15. That's brought to you by Gary Force Acura and Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. We'll come back with more of Darren, Donick, and Chase next on 102.5 The Game. We're just an hour and a half into the show. Let's see. Kevin Burkhart and David Poile. Not bad guests today on this Tuesday.
A-listers.
Man, that was good. Weekly chat with the GM, David Poile. Coming up at noon, we talk college football with Mitch Light from Athlon Sports. That'll be good as well. We're excited as we sit here in Pete and Terry's Tavern. Burger and a beer, $12.50 if you're looking for a place to hang during lunch. This would be a good spot. Anything jump out to you in the interview other than payphones and beepers. And,
that was a good story.
Yeah. I'm not kidding. That my first reason I kind of perked up is because I remember it was such a big deal. The first year that I had a cell phone was 1998.
Well, it's like wow. You think about the process of making a trade, the talking through it, and, who's you interested in? And it's not usually something that happens instantly, but now you can do it from literally anywhere, right? You could be at the top of a building. You could be, who knows, in your closet, in your house, getting changed. It could literally happen at any time.
But tell me how many people could relate to walking into the hotel room and looking at your phone. Like, nobody does that ever anymore. But how many times back in the day you walked into your hotel room and you would look to see if the light was beeping?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and also kind of he said it sort of with a dread, like, we lost. Oh boy, it must be the owner. Like you probably whoever the worst person that could leave you a message has probably called you. Or, so and so does want to talk about X or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
And now it's just all instant. I just thought it was interesting because of the other side of, I'm sure he's got to pay attention to what's being put out there by some of the insiders and what does he need to get in front of? What does he need to just not talk about right now? And that's all changed, from really 10 years ago. I mean, when Twitter started, it changed the whole game.
Well, you guys were referencing, I think it's pretty clear for people that have been following, the minute that Matt Duchene signed with the Predators, I think everybody jumped to, okay, now what are they going to do with Kyle Turris? Because it created a situation where you have a lot of money invested in centers. Mm-hmm. In particular, you have a lot of money invested in top six type of centers, six kind of money in, you don't have enough spots for those. So it's a puzzle that they were going to have to put together from the minute that they made that signing. And they're still, as you can see, moving pieces around and trying to find the right fit. And so far it's worked about as well as you could hope. Turris has been productive. As he said, it was a huge luxury to have a guy like Turris to fill in when you lose your biggest offensive weapon in Forsberg. But overall, somebody is a little out of place, or Turris has to play on a line, as Adam Vingan pointed out in his coverage on The Athletic. He's been pointing out from the start that the other choice is to play Turris at center, but that line won't get as many minutes. There's just, unless the game goes to triple overtime, you're not going to have all four lines play the kind of minutes that you want for your big weapons. So they're managing through it. Who knows what the solution will be, but automatically people around the league see that and they're saying, okay, well, Kyle Turris must be available via trade. But we know his price tag is high, but because his production is up, his stock is probably up. But right now, I don't know if they're inclined to trade him because he's doing very well.
He's a key piece on this team right now. I understand the money part because they have about, according to Cap Friendly, they have just a little bit over $3 million in cap space right now. Right.
Which is a little less than they've had in past years, right?
Right.
I was going to say, when's the last time they had $3 million between them and the ceiling of the cap?
Right.
It's been a while.
Remember, not too long ago, we would be sitting there going, they'll never get close to the cap. Who cares what the ceiling is? They're not going to get anywhere close.
The answer is never.
Yeah.
They've never been never been a $3 million gap between their salary and the ceiling of the salary cap.
Also, you have to remember, next year, presumably, when the Roman Josi contract gets done, that's going to change the cap situation too. So,
but
you have looking ahead.
You have to factor in a couple of things, though. Mikhail Granlund is a UFA. Craig Smith is a UFA.
Yep, that's,
Austin
that,
Watson.
Hold on, go back. Those two alone, that's what? That's
10
million?
Well,
5.75 and...
Yeah, 10 million, you're right.
Yep, that's $10 million.
Yeah. Good math.
Yeah, because Grant, and Smith is at what? 4.25?
4.25.
Yeah. Yep. So you're right, 10 million. So
even
you have
Kentucky
to wonder...
math. How about that coming through?
That was good. Proud of you.
Doesn't happen much.
That's a good congratulations. He's patting himself on the back.
Good job. Well,
I did the 5.75 and 4. I mean, that was a lot of decimal places you had to work with.
Doesn't happen much.
And I know
you grew up with Kentucky math.
So I know that obviously he has to get the Roman Josi deal done first to then be able to look at the rest of the contracts because then you start, and that's when the Kyle Turris salary, I think, really comes into play because not only do you have Granlund and Smith, but then you have Austin Watson, Rocco Grimaldi that are making a million or a little over a million. Mika Salamaki will be a UFA as well. That's just the forwards. So there would be some work to do, and I know the cap's going to go up.
Well, the reality is there's absolutely going to have to work to be done. They will have to subtract.
Yeah.
But this is where, as you heard in that interview, by the way, he didn't bring up Eli Tolvanen, which was interesting. He never brought up his name.
Yeah.
He brought up Rem Pitlick, but he didn't bring in Eli Tolvanen or Jeremy Davies.
Yeah.
But he didn't say Eli Tolvanen, but we still know this is where those guys – now, if they're not ready, they're not ready. But this is where you go. This is when they need when you subtract the big salaries, this is when you have to plug it. And you add a massive salary.
Yeah.
This is where you have to plug with the guys at the bottom of the salary cap, the guys making nothing.
Next year in particular.
Yes.
It's very critical that Tolvanen and or Pitlick are ready to contribute, for sure.
I would say, honestly, it's got to be both, don't you think?
I think in a best-case scenario for them to stay a contender, because realistically, you're going to lose somebody next
year.
Realistic
world.
It's going to be hard to keep
both
Josi, Granlund, and Svend.
I think it's pretty safe to say they will lose two bodies because of the Josi deal. True?
Maybe just one, but probably.
Really?
I think there is a chance.
I think you're probably right. Realistically, it's probably two somewhere. Now, which two is anybody's
guess?
Right,
I'm just saying you're probably going to have to lose two salaries that you currently have. And like I said, probably
How much will it go up?
But what are they projecting? What have we seen out there that they think it's going to go up?
I haven't seen.
Seen anything floated out there?
Not exactly.
I know they thought it was going to go up
last year. I think
more.
They put a projected and it was less.
It was less, right. Yeah.
So my thing is, and we're having this conversation in October, which I know is crazy, but let's say Elliot Friedman threw out last week that he thinks the number starts with a 9. So let's say it's 925 or whatever for Josi. Then he's making, right now, he's making, what, 4? So you're adding 5 million.
Yeah, that's like an extra guy.
Which is, if you're just being simple with it, that's probably Craig Smith. That, you know, his salary, a little bit more, that you're taking away to give to Josi. How much does the cap go up? Is Craig's, you know, is it then between Granlund and Smith that you want to keep one over the other?
It's a good question.
Are you able to move somebody?
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that.
No.
Particularly, but things can change between now and then. But the pressing thing now, I don't know about pressing because it's October, but the challenge right now is either you're playing Kyle Turris, as Adam has pointed out, in a role that he's not in, which is not accustomed to, out of the top six, or somebody is going to have to play and adapt in their unnatural position, either sliding over to a wing or playing the opposite wing than they're customarily used to playing, like Craig Smith.
Yeah.
So all of these things that are moving parts. The good news is whoever is on that extra line, whether you want to say it's the third line or the fourth line, it's hard to tell some nights which is which. And that's a good thing because you have four lines that are all threats that should contribute a decent amount of offense over time.
All right, we will come back and wrap up the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Next.
Hey, if you're looking for something to do tomorrow night, we've got a good suggestion for you. Smashville Live. It'll be at Drake's in Cool Springs. Well, hopefully you'll be there.
I will.
It's located at 553 Cool Springs Boulevard, 7 until 8 o'clock. Dante Fabro, who I spoke to this morning, you'll hear him on pregame tonight in the 6 o'clock hour. Defenseman Dante Fabro and Rocco Grimaldi will be the guests. That'll be a lot of fun. Fans can register to win 2 tickets to an upcoming Predators home game there at Drake's in Cool Springs. Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits. And why?
Rocco
so
Grimaldi.
You're one of the hosts?
I'm hosting alongside Skillsy.
Well, you can ask Rocco about this. He grew up in Southern California.
Uh-huh.
So our buddy Steve Carroll, former voice of the Nashville Sounds and Nashville Knights hockey team back in the day. He used to do the games in the rafters at the Municipal Auditorium.
That's scary.
He came in. He wanted to talk to Rocco because Rocco grew up in Southern Cal, then moved. His family moved to Detroit to be in more of a hockey hotbed before going on to the professional ranks. So Ask him about his journey, because he's been in a lot of different places. Really interesting.
Well, and that was earlier when I was talking about Smashville Live. We just had Dante, and then Rocco was a late ad, so it'll be cool to talk to those guys alongside Hal Gill. So looking forward to it. My first time hosting Smashville Live, I'm excited.
You are going to be a kid in the candy store.
It's going to be fun. Nice.
Should be a lot of fun.
Baby Bird's growing up.
Baby Bird doesn't have a choice.
I know. At this point.
Your Baby Bird gets swallowed if Baby Bird doesn't grow up.
Yeah.
Right?
That's why I'm going to the gym.
We found out this morning that, wild turkeys can fly. Willie, this is what you missed on the program.
Yeah. We missed our turkey talk.
We had a bird in here. You're surrounded by flies.
I got flies all over me.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, this is new. You brought these in.
Did you shower?
I think I did.
Deodorant? Because you got flies.
They're swarming me.
But we had a bird in here earlier, and so we got into,
Who is it? The pig pen from Peanuts?
Yes.
He always has the flies in the dirt chasing him?
Yeah.
I hope the bird got out, because when you left to go downstairs, I walked outside and there was another bird sitting right by the window, and I'm like, what is going on? And I think it was the bird's friend, all sad because his buddy or her buddy was stuck in here.
Stuck. Okay.
So I was like, man,
they were trying to meet up and he got stuck, and
it's like, where's my friend? So I think the bird got out of here. I hope.
So, but we had people sending us videos of turkeys hitting their cars and turkeys hitting them on bike rides. We got into all kinds of stuff. We had a really good conversation with Kevin Burkhardt, too. He was really good. Tonight, game one of the World Series, Nationals and Stros. If you like pitching, you might want to check that out.
Good pitchers. Pretty good pitchers.
Versus Cole.
Wow.
That's pretty darn good.
You think we'll have that on in Barrel House?
You better.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we know there's one resident Astros fan.
Kathleen will make
who is in Barrel House
a lot.
She will definitely.
She will demand that
definitely
game is on.
Expect one of the televisions to be on the World Series for sure. We're going to get into some college football discussion with Mitch Light from Athlon Sports. That's coming up at high noon. And got to be honest, I'm going to hit him right out of the gates with this Tua story. This thing could get very interesting because they don't need him this week. They virtually have a bye. Okay, Arkansas, Willie, even at your age today, you could go out there and you could beat Arkansas as Alabama starting quarterback.
Alabama's personnel, pull it off?
Yes.
What would the line be in Vegas?
If you were the quarterback?
If Saban says, Donick is coming out of retirement, we found eligibility for one game. We're going to bring in the left-hander.
Well, I don't even know what the line is.
What
is the line? 45?
It goes down
to 42. You know, I don't know. Check what the line is. It's got to be really, really high.
The line for Alabama-Arkansas
But the key part of the question is,
Bama is 32.5.
So it's gone down. It started off at 35. It's gone down to 32.5.
All right, it's 32.5. What is the line with me at quarterback? Is it a pick 'em?
28.5.
No way.
28.5.
You must think I'm pretty good.
South Carolina.
No, actually, I think Alabama's really good, and Arkansas stinks.
But I'm playing the quarterback position.
I know, but just hand it off, throw a couple screens.
Some screens?
Not a big deal. All right, have you seen Arkansas?
I got to get my arm.
Have you watched Arkansas?
Okay,
we were laughing. Did you see their fake punt on Saturday?
Max was a fan of it.
Like, that was actually an attempted fake punt. He threw an interception for a pick six on a fake punt. Hello?
Here's the guy, okay? I last played quarterback in a game in 1985, okay, as a ninth grader.
Yep.
Hal Gill.
That's not true. You were a quarterback in our flag football
tournament. Well, I'm saying with pads and helmets and stuff like
legit.
That. Okay, ninth
okay.
grade.
Okay.
Ninth grade. We had a really good team. My record as a quarterback in pads was very good. Only two losses in my career.
Okay.
Some very good action. But I still think that quarterbacking against Arkansas, the line goes way down. Now, Hal Gill, scholarship potential as a high school quarterback in the Boston area, had to choose between football and hockey, chose hockey, obviously. Now, Hal Gill behind center, I think maybe Alabama is still a very solid
favorite. What do you put it at? So it's 33. What do you put it at if Skillsy's the quarterback? What's it go down to?
I think that would be a great challenge for the Vegas odds makers.
He's a tall quarterback.
We got a 40-year-old or whatever Hal is, 40-plus. He's behind center. He's 6'8".
6'7", 6'8".
We've seen him throw. I mean, there's film of us in the Cotton Bowl last year.
He's a lefty.
We were promoting the Winter Classic, and we were slinging it all over the place. My arm was killing me the next day. Roman Josi kicked the field goal. I was the holder.
Yep.
Skillsy threw a touchdown pass to Roman Josi. That's on tape. So I think there's tape out there. So for the odd makers,
defense was
in the
weak
Cotton Bowl
that day.
Defense was weak. It was like weak. Kevin Wilson and like Nick weak. Barnowski. Yeah. A couple of pylons were out there too. I think Thomas Willis was out there. Yeah, Thomas was covering me.
Look,
I was
I'm
disappointed
not trying to
that
throw shade. Just, I'm just saying the defense looked
right.
Looked and, like a lower end defense.
And Arkansas's defense is not great, but it was better. It's better than this that defense on that day.
Good news.
You think
is,
Alabama's still like a touchdown favorite with Skillsy?
Well, they, look, they're used to a lefty. You don't change anything. You got another lefty quarterback, right? Just a taller version of Tua. I'm telling you, I don't think it goes down that much.
Okay. We'll never know.
I think Arkansas is one of the worst teams in the country.
You're right. We'll never know.
We're never going to know.
Which
right.
is a good
we
thing.
We will not. We'll never know.
There's some Bama fan out there shaking his head going, stop fooling around. This is a real. This is an SEC game. We got to take him seriously.
Oh,
he's
little
be
Nicky
like,
would.
Right. Well, that, he, this guy, they channel no, Nick Saban.
Little Nicky would go.
Right. They would that, pound the table. Well, that's podium. What the Alabama fans, they channel the coach.
Smack my leg. That's what he would do.
Yep.
All right, we'll come back. We will switch
gears.
We'll
actually talk college football.
We will, for real. I mean, for real. We'll do that on the other side. By the way, Derek Mason, speaking of that, even though Vanderbilt is off this week, typically we don't talk to the coach, but we are going to talk to him at 1 o'clock. So our weekly chat with Derek Mason over on West End at 1 o'clock. I want to talk to all the men out there. I've been telling you for years about my friends over at Cool Springs MD, and they know a lot of you have started to seek help with hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board-certified physician over there. His wife, Daphne Lodge, is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff want to give you men the treatments required to improve your quality of life. And I hope every single one of you out there want that like I do as we all get older, right? These things start happening. And they've already started helping a lot of you here in the Middle Tennessee area and the surrounding areas with improving your immune systems, your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And if you want to achieve that healthy lifestyle, what are you waiting for? Pick up the phone and make that appointment like I have. 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go check out them on their website that's got every single piece of information you could ever want. It's coolspringsmd.com.